So, here we go. Hopefully the volume works. Is the volume working? Oh. Hold on, we gotta get the volume. Sorry, guys. So the whole reason I ended up staying was because the Goldfish Communion. That was my first Sunday here, was the Goldfish Communion picture. And I thought it was so neat that you guys did that because I thought Jesus always had a sense of humor. So.
1, 2, 3, 4. It's the beauty of simplicity that brings me down to my knees. I'll praise you for eternity, and Lord, I love you because you first loved me. It's the beauty of simplicity that fills me with eternity. I've tasted your divinity. Lord, I love you because you first loved me. And all God's people say, we love you, we love you, Lord, we love. Simplicity that brings me down to my knees. I'll praise you for eternity. Lord, I love you because you first love.
Okay, look at you guys. Oh my goodness. Jacob, we're zooming in on you. Look at you.
Oh. There we go. All right, I just thought that was fun because you guys are all wonderful people. So, we're talking about having influence in the church. And, let me get this over here. Just 1 second. Oh, there's my dad. Oops. Okay, let me pull this up, just 1 sec. Oops, hold on, is that it? Okay, anyway, we're just gonna go with it, because my thing's not popping up. So, having influence in the body of Christ, so influence in the people who follow Jesus. So having influence in the body of Christ, it's about action. At the same time, action, I feel like, is a byproduct of who we are. And like Jeff talked about last week, influence is more about our connection than anything else. So John 5:7, I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. So influence in the body of Christ is about whether or not we're connected to Jesus and to one another. And like last week, fruit is really none of our business. I was listening to this really cool message by Susie Silk, and she pastors with John Tyson, and he's the pastor of the New York City Church in New York. And she had a really amazing teaching on the culture of honor, which culture of honor, in a sense, is about being connected to the vine. She talked about Romans 12. She talked about how the body of Christ, we're a living sacrifice, and so we aren't to be conformed to the world, but we're to be transformed in the way that we think. She talked about how we should think of ourselves with sober judgment, how we're each unique in our gifts in the body of Christ, and then she talked about the marks of a true, genuine Christian. And again, being a true, genuine Christian comes out of our abiding relationship with God. Romans 12:10 says, love one another with a brotherly affection, outdo one another in showing honor. So in that verse, I learned that the Greek word for honor is tome. It means honor, but it doesn't just mean the act of honoring someone. Like I do something to show honor to someone else. Like, for example, an elder. I honor my grandparents. The thing is sometimes my heart's really not in the right place because I like grit and I'm like, oh, I don't want to honor you right now because sometimes we grind each other's gears. The Greek goes more in depth, and to honor means a value by which price is fixed. And the second part of that then means honor, deference, or reverence that comes out from the first part. So this means that that honor is the perceived value of the person in the eye of the beholder. One question Susie asked when I was listening to her message was, are we honoring people to get something out of it, out of selfish gain, or are we honoring people because it's our true heart's disposition? And I think we can ask ourselves the same question about influence. Are we in, like, there are all sorts of reasons that we influence people. So when we seek to influence, we influence out of our connection in our hearts, which is based upon the price that we have fixed on whatever or whomever we are seeking to influence in our lives. So again, if influence is a byproduct of who we are because of our connection, then the million-dollar question for us is, who or what are you connected to? Because the influence that we have flows out of our entire lives, it flows out of our hearts, and we deeply impact the people around us, especially the people who are sitting next to you right now. We have a very deep impact on the people that we do life with in the body of Christ, and in the greater body of Christ too as well. So, I just have some questions that I want you guys to think about. Do you seek to influence the people that are sitting next to you by saying, I want to influence you so I can get something out of it? Are you seeking to influence the people in the body of Christ because you want what that person next to you has, or because you want power? Are you seeking to influence someone so that they meet your needs or desires? So there's two million dollar questions right now, and this is going to be awkward. I know people don't like looking each other in the eyes, but we just watched a video of a lot of the beautiful people who are part of this portion of the body of Christ. But just take a look around and look at people. Like, look at them in the eyes. Look at how beautiful each one of you guys are, even if it's a little awkward. So, the people in this room, nice, Daniel, yes, thumbs up. The people in this room, we're connected because of Jesus' love. That's what brought us here today, is our relationship with God, our relationship with Jesus, and therefore our relationship with one another, because he's what connects us. So, as you looked around at the people in this room, everybody probably has a different story. Even just today in this moment, people probably have a different story. I had a pretty relaxed morning for the most part. I came to church. I didn't have to drag a husband or kids to church. Some of you might have. Some of you might have had a bad morning. So, do you really know the heart of the person that's sitting next to you? Do you slow down long enough to ask? In the past, I've struggled with this just as a person in general because I've struggled with anxiety. And so, like Jeff said last week, a lot of times we walk in the door and we're not thinking about the other people. I know I certainly, some Sundays when I show up, I'm not, just because I have anxiety. I'm thinking about what's going on in my mind, all the things that I have to do this week. And it takes a little bit for Jesus to like reorient my focus onto him and onto people. So one more question. Do we influence and value the people who are in the body of Christ the way Christ does? Because all of us are a reflection of his love to the watching world. The way we love one another, the way we treat one another, the way we honor Christ, the way we value Christ, the way we influence each other's lives. The watching people outside in the world, they're watching us. John 13, 34 through 35 says, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another just as I have loved you. You are also to love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another." So in order to love one another well, we must know and be known by the self-giving love of Christ. We're not to value people because they look a certain way or influence people simply just because they look a certain way. We're not to influence people just because they can do something for us. But because Jesus paid the price for us and we are completely loved and valued by him. When I think of this, I think of like babies. Babies are kind of useless in a way if you think about it. Like, I know that sounds mean, but they are. They lay down. They're so cute, but they lay down, they sleep, they whine, they cry, they eat, they poop. They're completely dependent upon you for everything. I've never had a child of my own. I hope to someday. But that's intense. Like, they literally rely on you for anything. And what do they have to give back in that moment? Like, in the instant gratification, in the culture that we live in with instant gratification, what do babies have to give back? Not a whole lot. Super cute, though. But the thing is day by day by day by day by day, as a parent or as, you know, if you're an aunt, uncle, you're part of their life, and you continually show up each day. You influence their life each day. It's a daily process. Something forms inside of them and something beautiful happens. They start growing. They start becoming more of who they are. And part of who they are is part of who you are because they've influenced your life. I know I've had that happen a lot in my life. I lived in 35 different houses growing up. I lived with a lot of different families. And so who I am has a lot to do with who helped raise me. It's not all of it, but it is part of it. Rafina worked with one of my stepmoms at Mill City Grill. And one of the things that she had said was, "You are just like you're just like Shauna." Because I was like, I'm like Shauna, which was my stepmom's name. And Rafina's like, you are. You have like the same mannerisms as her and you talk like her. And I was like, yeah, because she raised me. Like, she raised me. She's not my real mom, but she raised me. And I picked up on some of what she was putting down. And so the same is true for the people in this room. We have so much influence over one another's lives. And we have a beautiful influence when we let Jesus have influence over our heart and our lives. And I want to give a picture of what his heart looks like and how we love as people who love him and he loves us and we follow him. There's a love called agape love. And this love is the purest form of love and it can only come from God. It's a divine love that seeks only to give. It's purely about the betterment of others, and it seeks no payment or favor in response. It is not dependent upon performance or environment. It seeks the welfare of others regardless of emotion and affection. This is not a passive love, but it's also not a striving love. It's a love of the will. It's a decision, a commitment, a covenant. This kind of love can only be found when Jesus is our home. And this love is the very nature of God, and we become sharers of this love. This perfect love changes our heart, which in turn changes the world, because when we've experienced such a great love, we cannot help but share it with others, especially our brothers and sisters in Christ, because we are the body of Christ on display for the world to see. And I really, really believe that this is the kind of beautiful love that Jesus is always desiring to form inside of us. And when we get close to him, it's the kind of love he forms in us. And we get to share in that together, and it's beautiful. On this side of eternity, though, I don't know if our hearts will ever be completely rid of self-interest. What I do know is when we behold Jesus, we are being transformed into his image with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. So when we behold him, we look like him. Jesus' influence in our lives and the way the kingdom works is vastly different from the way that we think it works. I have to ask him every day to show me, what are you doing? Like, give me your ears to hear, give me your eyes to see, because I don't see the way that you do. I don't look at this person in the way that you look at this person. I've had some crazy dreams, that like dreams that have actually happened. And in the moment, I've had to ask him, like, why did you show me this? Can you please, please give me your eyes for this person, to love this person? And will you give them eyes to love me and ears to hear the things that you're doing so they can love me too? In Jesus' day, I'm trying to not use always and everyone, but a lot of people were looking for a savior who was probably going to come in the form of someone who like overthrew the Roman government. And Jesus did that in a different way. Instead, he died on a cross and was resurrected on the third day because his kingdom is not of this world. A lot of people did not have eyes to see or ears to hear what was going to happen, how the Messiah was going to come into this world, how he came into this world. In John 18, Jesus comes before Pilate, and this is their conversation. So Pilate entered his headquarters again and called Jesus and said to him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Jesus answered, "Do you say this of your own accord, or did others say it to you about me?" Pilate answered, "Am I a Jew? Your own nation and the chief priests have delivered you over to me. What have you done?" Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would have been fighting that I might not be delivered over to the Jews. But my kingdom is not of this world." Then Pilate said to him, "So you're a king?" Jesus answered, "You say that I am a king. For this purpose I was born, and for this purpose I have come into the world, to bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth listens to my voice." Pilate said to him, "What is truth?" I bet when he was dying on the cross, people had no idea what hit them. I've sat back sometimes and I've wondered what the people who were watching Jesus die on the cross really thought. I bet for most of them, they thought that he can't be the wonderful Messiah who's come to free us. Because he didn't look, that doesn't really look like influence. And so he didn't really look like a lot of the influencers we see today. Yet, like last week, he has more followers than anyone. He didn't really look like the atypical power-hungry leader. And so his kingdom, again, is not of this world. And the people who serve him would have been, they would have been leading the way by overthrowing powers by worldly means. Instead, Jesus led with love. And as his followers, as people who love him, as he loves us, we're to do the same. So we only have true influence as his body when we are so connected to him that we love who and what he loves, and the outside world, they see that play out in our lives together. Since we're a body, we play a different role, and the things we value and the way we influence are different. They're not the same, but they're the same because, again, we all showed up here today because of our relationship with God, of our relationship with Jesus. So, the way we talk to one another, the way we honor one another above ourselves, the way we go to one another and work things out, work things through if we've hurt each other, how we treat one another is definitely a reflection of how we feel about ourselves and how we feel about our relationship with Jesus. There was this, I was listening to a Heidi Baker message like a few months ago, and she was talking about friendly fire, how more often than not, there's a lot of friendly fire that happens in the church. And she was talking about like hurtful words or, you know, just really at the end of the day, it was not having relationship. And so because people didn't have relationship with one another, you really misunderstood that person's heart. I know for me, when I get to know someone and I get to know their heart, it just makes life a whole lot easier because you can really understand where this person is coming from when you've heard their story. And I have a funny story that I want to insert just about what kind of friendly fire is okay. So someone in this church, I'm not going to name names at all, but they bought a bidet. And Rafina and I went and hung out with them. And so I was like, all right, I got to use your bathroom. They're like, whoa, let me show you. I got to show you the bidet. So we walk in there. And I'm standing in front of the toilet so they can show me the bidet. And the person goes and they turn it on full blast. It's like, and it shoots me in the arm and I fall over. I'm like, ah! Because I wasn't expecting it at all. They shot me with the bidet. So we're just a mess. Rafina comes in. She's like, oh my gosh. Did someone get hurt? Did someone fall and get hurt? I was like, no, they shot me with toilet water. And then Rafina comes in there and they're like, watch. They do it again and shoots Rafina in the mouth with the toilet water. And this person's significant others, they're in the other bedroom like talking to someone. They come in, they're like, what is happening? Like, what were you guys doing? And shooting each other with a bidet, that's what we were doing. But part of that is like, those are influential moments. Because it's fun. I think sometimes Jesus wants us to just like relax, calm down, do life together, enjoy life, get shot with a bidet instead of shooting at people with words. You're going to be good to go. Oh, man. So I really do think Jesus can and he will use fun and just doing life together to influence people's lives. Just be who he's made you to be. And life's good. That's easier said than done. So people who follow Jesus are literally the best. You guys are the best. Because I've never been loved like I have with people who follow Jesus. Here in this room alone, in this congregation alone, and you guys have blessed my life tremendously already. And I've only been here for like a year. So I'm just going to go, I want to honor some people and go through a few things. So I went out to dinner with some people one night and I didn't have a jacket. And so my friend goes, hey, take my jacket. And I was like, no, I'm okay. No, take my jacket. I was like, okay. Take their jacket, put it on, and they go, oh, you look beautiful in it, keep it. And it's an expensive, really, really nice jacket. And I'm like, no. They're like, no, keep it. People in this room have fed me, clothed me, washed my feet, texted me just simply to care for me because they love me. And they've asked for nothing in return. I've had people, when I've gone through a really hard time, sit with me, look at me, just put their hand on the back of my head and not say a word and just listen to me. I've had people stay up with me all night to process life and what Jesus is doing in our lives. I've had people invite me into their homes. I've had people treat me like I am a part of their family and tell me that I'm one of their girls. Rafina, this right here, this computer, Rafina gave this to me because mine broke. I was a poor college student and my computer broke. So I'm like, oh crud, I don't know what I'm going to do. Rafina goes, oh, here, take mine. So she gave this to me. She's bought me clothes, lunch, dinner. She continually sacrifices and has no expectations in return. There was a moment here when I got to do that for someone too, where someone shared the deep things of their heart, and it honestly is one of the most influential moments in my life up until this point. I had the privilege of holding this person's hand while they cried and shared some really, really difficult moments that they had experienced in their life. And for this friend, I would move mountains and ask nothing in return. And that's intense, but I've experienced a love so deep by Jesus that I would give my life to see every part of my friend's life made whole. And at the end of the day, I just want to love this person the way they want to be loved. And it's my hope to honor and care for them and to support them, not because of what they can do for me, because frankly, I really just enjoy being around them, but because they're hilarious and they're precious and we have a lot of good moments, but there's hard moments too. But that kind of familial love and devotion, I think, is what excites Jesus. It's what makes his heart really glad, is when we're devoted to one another and we deeply, deeply care about each other. And I feel like that kind of love and influence, it literally can only come from being connected with Jesus. It reminds me of the Sermon on the Mount, which is can be found in Matthew chapters 5-7. And I want to talk about the Beatitudes for a minute. Matthew 5, starting in verse 2. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when others revel you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you." In this, the first four Beatitudes, they focus on our relationship with God, which is the starting point. Being poor in spirit means coming humbly before God. It means those who you have a tender heart. Your heart hasn't been hardened by the things of this world. And this is that's a really hard place to live unless you're connected to the vine, unless you have an intimate relationship with Jesus. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. Being poor in did I do that twice? Oh, here we go. Yeah. Being poor in spirit, it really means our lives are not our own. We can do nothing apart from God, and he is the very breath that we breathe. Oh, where's this at? Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. I've mourned a lot just because when you live a hard life, sometimes it's hard to see the good in things. Sometimes it's hard to see God's goodness, even though he's good anyway. But when I met Jesus, all of that changed for me. I still mourn. I still mourn for things to be the way for healing to come in people's lives, for miracles to happen, for the beauty of the world to be seen, for people to, for us to just really love deeply and care about one another. But in that, the joyful part is that, you know, people in here have met Jesus. I've met Jesus, and he brings so much hope and joy into our lives. So in Isaiah 61, 1 through 4, he says something, Isaiah says something similar about mourning and being comforted. The thing is, comfort is equated with salvation, healing, and redemption. To be comforted is to experience the life-changing love of Jesus, and it's by his wounds we are healed and made whole at a soul level, at a physical level. The promise is that those who grieve over the brokenness of the world, or the promise is for those who grieve over the brokenness of the world. The grieving doesn't lead to perpetual sadness, but one of joy, because we are people who have Jesus and we can bring his kingdom into the broken places of the world. We can weep with those who weep and still be joyful in the midst of it all, because we have Jesus, who is the hope of glory. Jesus is good. He's beautiful. He heals. He can do miracles in all of our lives. So whenever I hear like the Beatitudes and I think about this passage, I always think of people like Mother Teresa, Heidi Baker, Christine Kane, the girl off Hunger Girls, Hunger Games, Hunger Girls. Goodness gracious, what am I saying? because it's like Jesus, he's the thing that, or he's the person that quenches our thirst. Like everything that we want and need in this life comes from him, because he is life in and of himself. He's life. And so when we have our eyes focused on him, when we're looking at him, when we're letting him influence who we are at the depths of our core being, at the depths of our heart, you just like, you want more of it, and you want more of it, and you want more of him. So last week, Jeff talked about salt and how we are salt and light of the earth. And that comes right after the Beatitudes passage. And that is how Jesus sees us here. We are salt and we are light of the world, because through his love and empowered by the Holy Spirit, this is now just who we are. We just have to be who we are in him together. And sometimes we separate our influence from our love for one another in the body of Christ, and they're not separate, they're together. I was listening to another message by Heidi Baker, and Jesus had said this to her: we cannot do anything without Jesus, and you cannot do anything without the body of Christ. And what had happened to her was, she was at this conference, and she's a little, like, I think she's extreme too, but her story was amazing. She went to this conference and she couldn't do anything anymore. And she was at this conference with a bunch of people from churches she didn't know. And what they did was, instead of being like, come on, like, get up, you know, you need to pick yourself up by your bootstraps and, you know, do your thing, they cared for her. They're like, honey, we've seen this happen before. Because she's like, the glory of who God was just like fell on me and I couldn't do anything. And I felt, she's like, I felt like an idiot. I felt like an idiot. So they brought her to her hotel room. And unless the people from that conference brought her water, she didn't get water for that day. Unless they took her to the bathroom, she didn't get to go to the bathroom that day. Unless they fed her, she wasn't fed that day. And that was the conclusion that she came to, was, we cannot do anything without Jesus, and you cannot do anything without the body of Christ. So the conclusion kind of that I've, well, it's not really a conclusion because I'm still learning every day, but I don't know if we're supposed to tell each other we're wrong all the time or anything like that. I think we're really all about sharing Jesus's self-giving kingdom love. And I think there's a lot of love to be formed in each one of us as we look at and behold Jesus. And how we treat one another says volumes about how we see Jesus and how we see ourselves. And every day that each one of us wake up, we're becoming something, and we meet people every single day that we're going to influence as the body of Christ. And we're people who share his love. We share his love with one another, and we share his love with the world. This doesn't mean that we become a cult or a social club or anything like that, because when you have your eyes fixed on Jesus, when you're connected to Jesus, that is a really, really, really hard thing to become, because he is a triune God, and he's very relational, and he's always overflowing. I was reading this book called Delighting in the Trinity, and the author Michael Reeves says this: "A young Scot named Richard entered the Abbey of St. Victor just outside the walls of Paris on the bank of the Seine. There he dedicated himself to contemplating God and was soon known as one of the most influential authors of his day. Richard argued that if God were just one person, he could not be intrinsically loving, since for all eternity before creation, he would have had nobody to love. If there were two persons, he went on, God might be loving, but in an excluding, ungenerous way. After all, when two persons love each other, they can be so infatuated with each other that they simply ignore everyone else. And a God like that would be very far from good news. But when the love between two persons is happy, healthy, and secure, they rejoice to share it. Just so it is with God," said Richard. "Being perfectly loving from all eternity, the Father and Son have delighted to share their lives and joy through their Spirit. It is not then that God becomes sharing, being triune. God is a sharing God, a God who loves to include. Indeed, that is why God will go on to create. His love is not for keeping, but for spreading." There's so many people. I'm sure in your mind right now, you could probably name, I don't know how many people that have had a really big impact on your life, a really big, really big influence in your life. The same is true for me. You know, sometimes it's a poet. Hi. Wait, can I hold her?
You could see me.
Okay, here we go. All right, we're going to talk together. So, Wendell Berry, he's a poet that I love. Dallas Willard, N.T. Wright, the theologian. Oh, you want to go see Mom? I have some friends that I met in Germany. Kinsey, Anthony, just crazy people. But they've influenced my life. They're names to you, but they mean something to me. People in this community, Northlake. I had people text me from Northlake this morning because they heard I was speaking. They're like, "We love you. Just, we're praying for you. I love you so much. Blah, 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 blah." Abundant Life, Chris Davis, like people from there, you know, that part of the body of Christ, Longview Community Church. Like, there's so many really, really, really cool people and influential people in this town who we're all connected to because of Jesus. Like, because of Jesus. Yes, we go to this church and we're in these walls and whatever, and that's amazing. And Evangel is a freaking fantastic group of people. You guys are wonderful. You really are. But we're all also connected to all those other people out who are out there too by way of Jesus. Paul, the Apostle Paul, he's one of my favorite people in the Bible because he doesn't influence by force. And he's in a jail cell. He's not even connected to any of the people really that were in his community in a sense, unless people went and visited him. But he was so influential because of Jesus. And he didn't do anything in his own strength. He really relied on Christ for everything. And he relied on Christ to endure such suffering with great love because he cared about the people that were outside of those four walls of his prison cell. That's beautiful. Jesus did the same thing. John 13, where he washes the disciples' feet. He washes the disciples' feet, and the very person who was going to betray him, he washed his feet. That's beautiful. So I think Jesus loves us a lot, so much. Every person in this room, he loves. And I think he thinks it's really, really beautiful when we love each other and we care deeply for each other. man. So, let me see if I can get this up here now. Because I have something, a question I want to ask you guys. One more question. Sorry, I know I said one more question before, but really is just one more question. So we're going to do something a little interactive just for like 2 minutes, really relational. And don't feel awkward. Don't feel weird. We're all a family here. So I have a question. If every follower of Jesus in the world lived like you, loved like you, treated people the way you do, what type of world would we live in? So find 2, 3, 4 people who are just sitting next to you, look them in the eyes, ask them that question, and just have a short conversation for like 2 minutes. All right? Oh, whoops. Because I'm playing music while you guys talk.
You say, come, rest and receive. All of those years I was wounded by religion.
All right, hope everybody had a really good conversation with someone and hope it was fun and you went out of your comfort zone a little bit. So, that's not what I want. Well, here we go. Rafina and I Wanted to start just connecting with people and having a place to connect with people on Sunday nights. And so that's kind of what we're thinking about, just like relationship with Jesus, eating together, hanging out on a on a Sunday night at 6, at 6 o'clock here. So anybody is welcome to come and just do relationship with us. So that's kind of when we're talking about like influencing people and just being together. I think a lot of influence that just comes naturally, like we're talking, like Jeff was talking about last week. Influence just comes naturally when a lot of people come together who love Jesus to do something like eat, hang out, or read the Bible. First week, we're just going to play some board games. So bring your favorite board game, bring a snack, bring a drink, and we'll just hang out and get to know each other. So I'm going to close in prayer, and then we're out of here. So Jesus, thank you so much for everything. I know there are a lot of little moments that we miss along the way. But you're so kind and you're so gracious. And you love us so much. And even when we miss those moments, when we miss those influential moments in life, I don't think you're looking at us like you're disappointed in us or anything. You always give us more. There's always more opportunities to share your love. There's always more love to give when we're looking at you. And so I just pray that like this next year, we'd just be really mindful of who you are. We'd be mindful of our relationship with you, that we would just eagerly want to know your heart and know your heart for other people, and especially the people who are sitting in this room. Jesus, I just ask that you'd give us your heart for one another. And that our worries and our anxiety and our fears would just dissipate. That when we walk in here on a Sunday morning, your love would be at the forefront of our mind. And we would really understand that we're walking into a place where we're loved. We're walking into a family where we're seen, we're known, we're loved, where people really, really care about us. People here care so much, and it's such a beautiful thing. So God just bless everyone, and bless Jeff and Jody as their way. Give them lots of time with their kiddos and refreshment. In Jesus' name, amen. Goodbye, everyone.